The launch of the Nintendo Switch 2 is imminent, but there are some titles you won't be able to play on it. Plus, SAG-AFTRA is going after Fortnite for making Darth Vader curse. Tonight is June 1st, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
You want to know what's hogwash? What's hogwash is when you're really behind on a television program just because life got in the way. And then every single thing on the algorithm shows you a still frame of the last season of the last episode of the season. So anyway, that's hogwash. And it wasn't anybody in here. Anyway... Hello, and welcome to I'm Back edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to take the show live just about each and every Sunday night. Obviously not every Sunday night, but just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right there on the Twitch televisions. And so thank you so much for being here. I was off for a week. Oral R was still here last week over the holiday weekend. But this is a podcast, so you can also find us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, and talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. And because it's a big week. It is absolutely a big week. And and for some people it was an even bigger week because congratulations to SSJ and Matt for tying the knot. And having what I'm assuming is going to be a beautiful wedding. I was not there, but I am going to assume it was a beautiful wedding and everything. Congratulations to that. I have met both Matt and his now wife, and they're both lovely people, and I'm just so happy for them. So, yeah, sorry for derailing for that, but congratulations on that, Matt. Now, so I was not here last week. Let's talk a little bit about why I wasn't here. This was a very, very much... very much a last minute addition, which is why I didn't want to talk about it. And if you remember from 2 weeks ago, I was like, I may not be here Sunday night. I don't know. And if you follow me on Blue Sky, you know why now. And you're like, yeah, you went to a soccer game or football. You went to a football match. And I went to the football match because I was already down there. And I wouldn't have been able to get home in time for the show. Had this thing that I'm about to talk about not happened, which is gaming related, I totally would have not gone to the football match. I would have sold my tickets and I would have been here for y'all. So I did not skip the show to go watch sports. I want to make that very clear. But where I was at MomoCon, which is a very large anime convention. I did not realize how large this thing had gotten because it wasn't the first one in Georgia or even the oldest one that operates here in Georgia. So MomoCon, there were about 63,000 people that got to the Georgia World Congress Center last weekend, starting on Thursday. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That way people could have Monday, which is a holiday here in America, to recover, I guess. It didn't actually go till Monday. It's not like Dragon Con. But MomoCon, it's a big anime and gaming festival, so they've got a whole bunch of gaming stuff. I've talked about it before. I did not get any footage of anything because they all look the same now. So, in terms of, like, the Japanese arcade that was there, Save Point brought just basically everything they had. So all the Japanese arcade games were there that you can think of. You name it, it was there. There were several cabinets of Beatmania 2DX, which was the game I grew up on, and each cabinet had one of those people that only shows up to an anime convention to sit and play Beatmania 2DX with, like, you know, cardboard on the screen covering things up, you know, stance wide, and, you know, to show off because, like, they've been practicing their whole life for this moment. So I did not get to play any of the arcade games that were there. I walked around and I was like, yep, that's there. Yep, that's there. They did have some pinball machines. I did play some pinball, but it was all games I had played before. Nothing new. So so that was there. But why I was there was for a speedrunning marathon. Now, this speedrunning marathon, it's something that kind of came together, from what I understand, pretty late. They didn't even start planning it until about 2 to 3 months ago. And it is being run by the folks behind Zeldathon, which is another charity marathon that has speedrunning, but also showcases and other things. It's not just speedrunning. And they were putting on they wanted to put on something like that at MomoCon. And MomoCon's like, we really just want the speedrunning part. We don't necessarily want all the other stuff that comes with, you know, a gaming event. So I had heard the call. They were looking for local Atlanta people with on-camera experience. And I responded and didn't really hear back from them. So we were kind of in talks a little bit, and it wasn't literally until Thursday. Now, granted, setup was Wednesday. They went on the air Thursday. They said, you know what, we have an extra badge here, and we, you know, if you want to be here and kind of, you know, be backup for us, do some on-camera stuff on a backup basis. We've got most of it covered, but we could probably, you know, if you want to be down here, you can. And so, and actually, no, it wasn't even until Friday. I didn't know until Friday. They had started Thursday, done the whole day, and Friday morning, they're like, yeah, if you can come down by this point, we'll give you a badge and you can come in. And so I spent the whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, down there. They had already been on the air. So they were raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and I learned it is not St. Jude's with an S, it's St. Jude Children's, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. That's one of the things I learned. If I learned nothing else from MomoCon, that's what I learned. And we wound up raising over $2,500 throughout the entire weekend for them. And I wound up on all 3 days that I was there sitting on camera, reading donations, bantering with the runners, and it was all on the Speed Gaming Twitch channel. There's no VODs yet of it. They don't know where they're going to put them yet, but they are still available on the Speed Gaming channel. But it was interesting to do because it was actually like on-camera hosting, which is something I'm not exactly used to because I'm used to not being on camera when I'm doing my thing. But It was pretty cool. So there's I have to find the video here, and I found it. But there was me hosting actually a run and a runner that I've hosted before. But I'm there in my little, you know, my football jersey, watching him play. Watching Oof Moment 420 playing Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. But I got to host 3 games of the Shantae series, and I got to host and it's kind of funny. It's like I completely forgot the game, but it's like this this action platformer or action 2D, 2.5 isometric action game. And but it's so it feels like Bastion a little bit, but it's also got a narrative structure that's like choose your own adventure. And I am trying to get back to where it was because it's on this channel that has a whole bunch of other stuff on it to see if I can figure out what it is. Stories, the Path of Destinies. That's the game. So Stories, the Path of Destinies is a game that I hosted earlier. And then that night I hosted for a Super Mario World Kaizo run. And like even the person who made the ROM hack was donating and was in chat. And then Celeste. So I'm now part of the Celeste community from that. And then on the last day I did Spider-Man's Shattered Dimensions. So it was a lot of fun. Hopefully that returns next year. I know MomoCon is interested in them returning. Maybe I'll have a bigger part in it next time, but I did stick around to help tear down, which is why I, even though everything stopped at 5, I could have gotten home. I decided to stay and tear down. So big thank you to the Zeldathon folks for Clinkit and all of them for thinking of me and bringing me in last minute to kind of augment their staff. And I hope that maybe they'll give me a call again a little bit earlier than like the morning of, where I have to like try to get off work. Anyway. So, but MomoCon, it was an interesting gaming con. It was a neat gaming con, anime con, very, very anime. I walked the show floor once, like the exhibit hall once the entire weekend, went through, said hi to the people that I wanted to say hi to, and things like that. So I found a lot of people there that I've talked with, because, you know, we do, some of us do know each other here in the area, even though it's a big city. But I guess I should also kind of mention something that I learned 2 weeks ago that I haven't mentioned here. I actually learned while I was talking to Rob. The email came through 2 weeks ago, so I didn't tell anybody. I'm talking about speedrunning, and you probably, if you've kind of been paying attention, I haven't been talking about speedrunning for about 9 months. And it's because I typically try not to post my L's. And the thing is, I was not selected for AGDQ in January, which is why I went to Las Vegas. It was the money and the PTO I had set aside for GDQ. I decided to take my wife to Vegas over the Christmas break. And it was actually the second time I had gotten an L from GDQ. I had also applied to do TwitchCon again and was not selected for that as well. So I audition. You have to re-audition every single time, and that way it makes it fair. And so I was like, I'm going to try one more time. And I was selected. And if I wasn't selected, I was going to actually turn the page and be like, all right, GDQ was fun for 4 years. I had done 9 events for Games Done Quick. And I would have been like, yep, I wanted to get the even 10, but, you know, whatever. It wasn't meant to be. But they selected me. And so I will actually be in Minneapolis next month in July to be one of the donation readers and hosts over at Games Done Quick. Summer Games Done Quick 2025 is going to be happening over at the Games Done Quick Twitch channel. And today, I learned what I'm actually hosting, because the schedule's been out for a bit, but they didn't attach the hosts until now, because the schedule actually came out before they had determined who was going to be a host. So, when you are going to be able to hear me is I'm late in the week. So I'm not, sometimes I'm front loaded, sometimes I'm back loaded. I very rarely have like shifts where like I have one in the beginning of the week and one in the end. So I don't even show up until Thursday night. Like the marathon's going to be mostly over by the time you hear me for the first time. But on Thursday, July 10th, starting at about 8:30 p.m. Eastern, a game that is not better than Earthbound, a game that is not better than Chrono Trigger. So I am going to be hosting Super Metroid. It's a low percent ice race between Oats and Goats and Eddie. So I don't know what that category specifically means, but that is the category that I'm going to be doing. And then after that, I don't know. There are two blocks on the schedule right now that say mystery game, and I have one of them. And no, and I'm going to be completely honest, they have not told me what it is. I am sure that I will know what it is before the general public does, but today is not that day. And if they tell me and they say don't tell anybody, guess what? I'm not telling you. But I am being completely honest, I have no clue what it is as of June 1st at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. I don't know what it is. They haven't told me. So that's the first block. And whatever it is, it's going to take an hour and a half. So I'm going to be on for like 4 hours on July 10th, which will be great. And then I'm going to be, it's a little bit shorter block, but I'm going to be on the finale day on Saturday, July 12th, the last day. Tell me if you've heard of either of these games. I don't know. These may be something that you may have never heard of. So starting at about, they say like 1:53 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be like 2 Eastern. Like, let's be real. This game called Super Mario Brothers 3. And I don't even know how to say the person's name. It's maybe CZ Kubi. I don't know if there's some vowels in there that are silent, or vowels that are not written, that are invisible, that you're supposed to say. And it is any percent all fortresses. So that is like a 45-minute speed run right there. It's not just jumping to the end. So there, whoever it is going to have to go through all the fortresses to be able to beat the category. And then at 3 p.m. Eastern, I don't know if Deft has heard of this game. Mike Deft has heard of this game or not. I don't know. Kirby Superstar Ultra. So that game, it's actually a TAS. So I am hosting the TAS block of the DS game, Kirby Superstar Ultra. It is an any percent TAS. It is done by Sample. And notice I am saying it's TAS and not necessarily TASBOT. TASBOT is a different entity, and I don't. And TASBOT is not involved in showing off this particular TAS. So that is going to be Saturday, probably starting about 3 o'clock Eastern on the final day of the marathon as they go into Deltarune. Is going to be the finale, all four chapters. And yes, chapters 3 and 4 aren't out yet, but they're going to run all four chapters. Also, they announced that they are having an actual concert this time around. They did a concert with a live backing band. They did Crazy Taxi and AGDQ. But this time, if you've ever heard of them, I first heard of them thanks to our where I used to be in All Games Radio, because they performed at the Arena Interactive Lounge that Scott Rubin used in the mid-2000s, late-2000s. The Megas are performing. The Megas are a band that take the Mega Man music and add lyrics to them. And they have multiple albums out under the Get Equipped line, where they actually go through all the bosses from each game. And they are going to be performing live at Games Done Quick on, I believe, Friday night is when that is. So there's going to be a lot of cool stuff going on at GDQ. I will be there all week. So this is going to be one of the first times, by the way, if you live in the Minneapolis area, they are going to be selling like on site. Like, so if you just walk up, you will be able to buy your way in. However, it's pretty darn expensive and they are almost at their cap, but I don't know what they're going to do for other things. Now, space is limited. Like, not everybody can fit into the room at one time. So if you're like, I'm just going to go to the Megas concert, you may not be able to get into that because everybody wants to go to the Megas concert. But there is going to be that. Maybe you'll be able to go and donate. And it's going to be for a great cause. So, all right. Enough about me. Enough about that. But it's really cool that as Jordan Matt says, that's cool. They usually have someone play a game on stage from start to finish while they play the soundtrack. The Megas is not Bit Brigade. You're thinking Bit Brigade. For that, the Megas actually just made rock songs based on the bosses. I don't think the Megas actually do the speed run on stage because they actually have lyrics. So they actually want to play the whole song and go through it. They're really good. They've been great for decades now. Bit Brigade is the actual speed running band that they just play the songs. They don't actually do lyrics over them. And the Megas actually have actual, like, pretty good lyrics because each song is sung by that boss. And if you've never heard them, I'm not going to play them because I don't want to get, like, copyright strikes. I'm going to see if the lyrics for one of these is in here because it's the theme from Airman. Do you know what it's like to be built this way with only the power to push others away is one of the lyrics that they have in there. So Tiger Claw says AGDQ did have a run with the band playing the music over the speedrun. That was Crazy Taxi, and it was a thrown together band that just basically played the same couple tunes. This is going to be an actual, like, concert. And as Jared and Matt says, it's like a rock opera. You're not thinking of the Megas with that. You're thinking Proto Men. There's a whole Mega Man band lore here. Proto Men actually made the 80s style rock opera about the Mega Man story, but they don't actually use the actual music from Mega Man. They basically retell the fight between Dr. Wily and Dr. Light as an 80s style rock opera. And it's like the Mario rock opera that Tiger Claw remembers from 20 years ago, except Proto Men are actually still around. And they've even, like, they've kind of ditched the Mega Man a little bit. They've started going into, like, just doing 80s-style rock opera-type songs about anything. They're not very much tied down to the Mega Man universe anymore. They've had to expand a little bit. But the Megas literally do, they're not rock opera. They just make rock songs based on the original music from Mega Man. It's actually the music with their own lyrics on the top. It's actually really good. Check them out. They are on all the streaming platforms, so you can check out the Megas. Get the Get Equipped albums are what they are, and so there's like 1, 2, and 3, and those go through like what the various games are. All right. Let's talk about some of the news, because, you know, some stuff happened, and this is actually a follow-up to a story I talked about 2 weeks ago. So, hey, I didn't think that this would be the perfect opening. Rob did over on Orange Lounge Radio, but remember 2 weeks ago we talked about AI and how AI was giving Darth Vader lines to say, and because James Earl Jones's estate, and basically James Earl Jones himself, gave the rights to use AI trained on his voice to Disney. And they allowed Disney to use his voice in future projects because James Earl Jones is the voice of Darth Vader, and the estate wants that money from James Earl Jones being used for that, because obviously the estate gets paid every time they use him. So what they did is they put it in Fortnite and then used generative AI to generate the lines that Darth Vader would say in James Earl Jones's voice. And people quickly learned that you can make generative AI say anything. And I don't think the family expected the AI of their of James Earl Jones's voice to be used by something where it wasn't explicitly planned. I fully believe that James Earl Jones himself, before he passed away, at the age of 93, and his family probably assumed that they would just have Darth Vader say lines that were actually written for Darth Vader. It turns out that that's not how it's actually being used. And I don't think that the Jones family and estate thought about this implication, because it probably didn't exist. Of course it's not going to make him say just random stuff. Disney's better than that. Kotaku reports that SAG-AFTRA, the massive actors and media union with over 160,000 members, have filed an unfair labor practice charge with the National Labor Relations Board against Epic Games over its inclusion of an AI-powered Darth Vader in a recent Fortnite update. So players could talk to the AI-powered Vader and ask him questions. The AI character's voice was designed to mimic that of the late James Earl Jones and was done with his and his estate's permission. Pretty quickly after he was added to the game, players got him to say slurs, swears, and other questionable things. Epic patched him up and seems to have gotten the Sith Lord under control, but now the developer's in hot water with one of the largest media unions in the country because it's included its AI-powered Vader without first communicating or bargaining with SAG-AFTRA. On May 19th, as reported by Eurogamer, SAG-AFTRA announced it had filed an unfair labor practice charge against Epic Games and its subsidiary, Llama Productions. SAG-AFTRA said in a statement, quote, "We celebrate the right of our members and their estates to control the use of their digital replicas and welcome the use of new technologies to allow new generations to share in the enjoyment of those legacies and renowned roles. However, we must protect our right to bargain terms and conditions around uses of voice that replace the work of our members, including those who previously did the work of matching Darth Vader's iconic rhythm and tone in video games," unquote. SAG-AFTRA says that Epic and Llama Productions chose to replace the work of human performers with AI and did so without, quote, "providing any notice of their intent to do this," unquote, and without allowing the union to bargain over fair terms. SAG-AFTRA voice actors are currently on strike against large video game companies, including EA and Activision, over various issues. The strike started in 2024. One of the big ones is protection against AI copies like Darth Vader in Fortnite. Esther Matt said they were likely told that his voice would be used for any entertainment medium use, which this falls into. And yes, I think what I'm saying is I don't think that the objection here from the Jones family. Now, the objection from SAG-AFTRA is different. I don't think the objection from the Jones family would be that he was used in Fortnite. That's fine. I think their objection would probably be they thought all of the lines that the digital James Earl Jones voice would say would have been scripted by a script writer. I don't think they expected the lines that the James Earl Jones digital replica would say would be completely random based on the whims of an algorithm. So SAG-AFTRA now, if you actually read this, it's not necessarily about what they had Vader say. SAG-AFTRA is upset that that James Earl Jones was a SAG-AFTRA member, and the people that became Darth Vader and used his voice in other video games, who are also SAG-AFTRA members, were not consulted. That they basically cut out the other people that have made a living doing voices like Darth Vader's. There are some very talented voice actors that have picked up what they say, the iconic rhythm and tone of Darth Vader. So that's where SAG-AFTRA is coming from. It's not necessarily the script. I can see the family having a problem with the fact that there's no script and it's random. Now, Fifth Dream does say, I don't even get what this is. Like, are you in Fortnite and you just walk up to a Darth Vader and go, hey, say this? And Tiger Claw actually responds, and I'm going to repeat it for the people on the podcast if you don't know what it is. So Vader basically joins your party in Fortnite and is along with you on Star Wars missions. And you can talk to this Vader AI like you over voice chat like you would anybody else in your party. Basically, it's another party member. It's just controlled completely by... The speech is controlled completely by generative AI, and the model is controlled by the AI that we have had in video games forever that is not necessarily generative AI. But the speech and the conversation, that is generative AI, and then it uses James Earl Jones' voice to say those lines. And Tiger Claw says, the thing about this is that it's real time. You couldn't hire a voice actor to participate in every voice chat instance for every player. I think what SAG-AFTRA is saying is that maybe they should have. Why use James Earl Jones' voice when they could have tried to negotiate having a digital replica of the person who's currently voicing Darth Vader in games? Why does it have to go to the estate? Why can't SAG-AFTRA be a part of that negotiation? That's their angle. Is that there are currently people who are voicing Darth Vader, and they want protections on digital signatures, but they're not completely against having a digital signature. SAG-AFTRA isn't completely against this technology if it's used just for this. They want protection for, okay, we had you say these scripted lines, and now after we're done, we're going to go make unscripted lines, or we're going to do more scripts and we're going to have the AI do it, and there's nothing you can do about it. ZenMonkey11 says, since it's not really his voice, can this be seen as one of those toys that changes kids' voice into Vader, or is it really his voice cut up into AI? AI confuses me. So it is more the second. It is more his voice is cut up by the AI. Now, no person is doing that because that takes a lot of human hours, but it's a computer can do that. So that when they train it, they basically trained the voice on James Earl Jones's speaking patterns. And so, yes, it cuts up very minute things about the audio. And then it uses that audio and it learns what he's saying, how he's saying it, what he's doing. So it's more than just the audio, but it's also trying to figure out when that audio is used. And it's training on every single dialogue that Vader says in all the Star Wars movies and probably other things that James Earl Jones has done, because James Earl Jones had other roles. And so it can learn some of that as well. So it is basically doing that under the hood. It's cutting up the voice, putting it into small chunks, and then also analyzing how that chunk's used, when it's used, where it's used. So it is his voice. It is absolutely his voice, and it's not auto-generated from nothing. They literally took James Earl Jones's voice and cut it up, and analyzed it, and the computer is now making James Earl Jones's voice say other things. This is technology we've had for a while. The voice of Siri is an actual person. There is an actual person that we know who is the voice of Siri. The voice of Alexa is an actual person. This has existed for quite some time. And ZenMonkey11 says, if it's his voice, they have a case for sure. I thought it was just an electronic voice that mimics his tone. It is an electronic voice, but it mimics his tone by using his voice, by using the audio files of his voice to mimic it. So, as Jeremy Matt says, they made SAG-AFTRA's case about generative AI has been trying to make during the strike. This is exactly what they're still fighting for. Fifth Dream says Vocaloid singers. Yeah, Vocaloid singers are they're a little bit different, but it's the same concept. Like, so Hatsune Miku, if I remember, does actually have a real voice actress. There is a real voice actor that is the voice of Hatsune Miku. There's a whole bunch of other Vocaloid people. We only know Hatsune Miku because we're American and we don't live in that world. But Hatsune Miku, there is actually an actual singer that is the voice of Hatsune Miku. Where Hatsune Miku is a little bit different is that Hatsune Miku is then loaded into the Vocaloid program, which is actually a trademarked, copywritten program. That's actually the company. And it is used like a musical instrument by the person writing the music. It is not AI. It is not being used by AI. The person who is writing the song basically uses the Vocaloid software as yet another instrument. And so it's not generative AI. Hatsune Miku, that voice, is singing exactly what the song calls for, exactly what the song was composed to do. Hatsune Miku is just another instrument in that song. Whereas this generative AI is making up the dialogue, then telling the AI, the text-to-speech, to say it like James Earl Jones does. This is what SAG-AFTRA has been fighting for. And by the way, they're still fighting. There's not everybody has signed that interim contract yet. So who knows what's going to happen to some of your favorite games. Let's talk about one of the other things going on, because the Switch 2 is coming out this week, by the way, if you were able to secure one. I do believe that mine hasn't been canceled yet. I'm going to a midnight launch Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and to go play Switch 2. Tigerclaw says, lots of AI going around this week. It would someday replace YouTubers. I mean, AI could someday replace me. Why would you watch me when you could have an AI tell you the same things that's me, and you don't get my long pauses and my ums and my stutters? Wouldn't that be cool? I don't think so, but it may be for you. So Destructoid reports that Nintendo has finally released an official list of games incompatible with Nintendo Switch 2 after initially revealing in the first Nintendo Direct that not all Switch 1 games are usable on the system. And there are, according to Destructoid, which I believe some of this is AI generated now. I don't remember. I know Destructoid's not the same that it used to be. But there are some big surprises that they were not expecting. But I pretty much expected all of these because I looked at why. So Nintendo does have a full list of incompatible games on the Switch 2, as well as games that have some compatibility issues with the new system. And this is probably, a lot of those are probably because those games used some hacky workarounds to get around some of the limitations of the Switch, and those don't work on the Switch 2. So that might be why they don't work. So the developer would need to go in and patch, and they may not be able to patch it. The entire reason their game may work on the Switch is because of a hacky workaround that doesn't work on the Switch 2, and it's not worth it to make it work on the Switch 2. So the games that can't be played on the Switch 2 at all, and it's like games and software, includes, not the full list, but it includes the, you're going to hear Nintendo Labo a lot in this story, the VR kit, because the VR kit, you put the Switch inside of it and the Switch 2 doesn't fit. So they just don't even let you launch that software. Other things, Nico Nico, Abema, I don't know what either of those, they might be streaming, Hulu and Crunchyroll. So I didn't even know Hulu and Crunchyroll were on the Switch. And then Inky Pen. Those games just can't be loaded. Games and software. There's others too, but those are the ones that Nintendo specifically called out on their site, outside of the PDF that lists everything. Esther and Matt says, nobody bought us a Switch 2 off of our wedding registry. I'm sorry. Dark Tia says, Nico is streaming. Yeah, it's Japanese. So I guess Abema is probably also a streaming platform, and maybe Inky Pen is too. I don't know. So Now, there are other games that you can't play with the Joy-Con 2. And there are, like, Destructoid was actually, whoever wrote Destructoid was like, I don't understand why. And I'm like, you go to the site and it literally explains why. And it's because one of the experimental features they added to the Joy-Cons for the Nintendo Switch was an IR motion camera. So on the right Joy-Con, there is basically an IR camera like the old, like the Wii sensor bar, right? And it was, or actually like the Wiimote, basically, because the actual sensor was in the remote. The bar that you put on the top of your screen for the Wii, that actually emitted things that your remote, the Wii remote, read. So they actually have one of those, and it's a little camera. It's more than just IR, but it's a little camera that's on the right Joy-Con. Well, they didn't bring that over to Switch 2. So you can't use any of the features that require that. Also, the Joy-Con 2s, they're a little bit different size. So anything that needs the size to be exact, you can't use. So let's go over some of these that you're going to need regular old Joy-Cons to use. Then you can play them on the Switch too. Ring Fit Adventure, we kind of knew about this pretty early on. Joy-Con 2 cannot be attached to the Ring-Con accessory that's included with Ring Fit Adventure. So the big, the ring, it can't attach to the ring. But you can play on Nintendo Switch 2 by attaching the Switch Joy-Con to the Ring-Con. And also the Joy-Cons 2 don't fit into the leg strap of Ring Fit Adventure. 1-2 Switch. Now, this is the first one that used the IR camera. Joy-Con 2 controllers don't include an IR motion camera as it featured in the Joy-Con, the right Joy-Con. So it's only possible to play games that use this feature if you wirelessly connect a Nintendo Switch Joy-Con. Now, all of the ones that don't use that camera, you'll be able to play with the Joy-Con 2. Everybody 1-2 Switch. So this one, the sequel to the tech demo, the volume of the Joy-Con 2 controller's force feedback vibrations has been reduced compared to the Nintendo Switch Joy-Con controllers, so it may be more difficult to find hidden Joy-Con 2 in the minigame Joy-Con Hide and Seek. So they made it so the controllers, they still have the HD rumble, but it's kind of interesting that they say, we made the accelerometers that cause that quieter. Or I don't know if those are the accelerometers, whatever they've got in there that actually do the rumble. They've made them quieter. And everybody 1-2 Switch required them to be as loud as they were in the inefficient version that was released with the regular Nintendo Switch. Game Builder Garage, which we've heard is going to get an update, I believe, to be able to use it as a mouse functionality. But it's listed here, and it's because of the IR motion camera. So you can't use any of those, any of the games that use the motion, that IR motion camera. You have to use Joy-Con once. Everything else you'll be able to do. And I believe they're even updating it to use the mouse in that one. So it's kind of interesting. It's both incompatible and going to be extra compatible at the same time. Nintendo Switch Sports, they don't fit in the leg strap. So you cannot play the soccer shootout mode with the Joy-Con 2. Everything else since Nintendo Switch Sports you can do. WarioWare Move It. It's the IR motion camera, so you can't play the micro games that use that feature in WarioWare. And then Labo, all the Toy-Con 1, 2, and 3, basically, they don't fit. And there's, you know, essentially, they don't fit in the accessory. They don't fit in there. And in the one that has the driving, where you can actually put the Switch in, anything that has, like, a Switch holder, it's not going to fit in the Switch holder. Which is the same thing the VR kit has. So, all in all, not that bad of a deal. You know, there are going to be other games that don't work at all, but it's more because the developers tried to hack around some things. All the first-party titles are going to work. ZenMonkey 11 says, I bought 2 baseball games for my Switch that have really bad controls that make the games unplayable. I hope Switch 2 doesn't allow that to happen anymore. They really need to curate their third-party games. Unfortunately, this is going to be the hogwash. ZenMonkey 11 is going to look at me and be like, that's hogwash. Nintendo is having to be more open to third-party developers, and there are a lot of them because the indie gaming space is so big. The Nintendo seal of quality has not existed in decades. And even then, it wasn't really about quality. It was about keeping publishers to only having so many games a year. It was never about the quality. That was propaganda, the quality part. So they don't have the resources or really the desire to do a full certification process on the game design of every third-party game that comes out on the Switch. While that sounds great, there are too many indie game developers out there and too many third-party game developers out there. People would be complaining that no games are coming out for the Switch because they're all getting held up in certification. And as Sharon O'Matt says, unfortunately, Nintendo's seal of approval isn't around yet. It was a seal of approval. Yeah, and the seal of approval was not a seal of quality. I called it a seal of quality because propaganda. I'm of that age. The Nintendo seal of approval was created because Nintendo only wanted their third-party companies to release 5 cartridges a year. You could not do any more of that. And any more than that, which is why Ultra exists, because Konami wanted to publish more than 5 games a year. So they created Ultra and put some of their games on Ultra, and they got another 5 games on the Nintendo seal of approval. So that's what the seal of approval was. It wasn't an approval that the game is good. It was an approval that this company is allowed to make a game for our console. So, and E3VL says it'd be like the Wii U all over again, barely any third-party support. And that's what Nintendo doesn't want. If they try to muck around too much in the game design, then they're going to be bogged down and people are going to complain that they don't have their third-party games and they're just going to go play them on other systems. So they are hoping that the market decides, the free market decides. If something's got bad controls that make the game unplayable, they hope that the market can decide that. And you know, reviews would help with that, or ratings, which they do. They do offer ratings. They don't offer reviews, but you can see ratings, I believe. So that's the downside of having such a rich ecosystem of so many people being able to make games. Is that you, as a consumer, you probably do have to do a little bit more research. Now, would it be great if Nintendo had a good refund policy like what Steam has? Yeah, I'd love that. That would also solve this, because then you'd know that, okay, if the game's controls suck, I have a recourse. And I don't think you do on Nintendo like you do on Steam. Because Steam, it's like if you play under 2 hours within 40 days or 14 days of purchase, you can get a refund, no questions asked. And that's great for consumers. Developers hate it, especially if they have a game that you can beat in less than 2 hours. They hate it. But, you know, and E3VL says need required demos. Xbox 360 had that. And turns out people don't play that many demos. And that's why, because Xbox 360, if you remember the Xbox Live Arcade, one of the requirements of being on Xbox Live Arcade was you had to have a playable demo. And that actually kept some developers out, because making a demo, that takes time. And you're not going to get that money back for making that demo, which is why you don't see that many demos of large games anymore. You see some. There's always exceptions to every rule. But there aren't that many anymore. And Xbox required them, and the industry pushed back, and they finally stopped requiring them for the Xbox Live Arcade stuff. So I get it. It would be great. I think Nintendo should have some kind of resource. I don't recourse for consumers. But they don't today. And they're not going to vet, because what may be bad game design to you may be good game design to someone else. And who's to say what is good or bad, and what makes something unplayable and what doesn't make something unplayable? Whose opinion should it be for everybody? We're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll be back to talk to Rob about what we're going to be doing later this week, by the way, and what we're going to be doing later this month. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show. Woohoo! It's a number one.
I thought chatter about video game radio was number one.
I
I'm number one. The heck with everybody else. You're listening to the great radio show. Now have a rotten day.
New Mario game. New console. That's why I got to play that bumper from Charles Martinet. Back with the Wii. That was E3 2006. And I was standing in line to see the Wii for the first time. Not the Wii U. The Wii. And Charles Martinet was inside like a video screen. He was there, but he was behind a video screen and he was talking to people in line. And he was very gracious to do that for us. We very much appreciate that. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not need to be Charles Martinet. A video of you with just your voice or an audio file of you with just your voice. I will choose what DMCA violation to put behind it, saying that you should come back to the Bobby Blackwell Show, that I'm not playing things from literally 2006. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them to see what's going on. And there's been some amazing Discord updates that have kind of made me kind of wary about things. So let's see if this actually works. Sacramento, are you there?
Hopefully I am here, Bobby.
Yes,
how are you?
I am doing well. So for some reason, y'all, I opened up, because I hadn't opened up OBS Studio, which is what we used to stream in two weeks. So I don't know when this happened, but one of the Discord updates decided that OBS Studio is now a game. And So it put all of its overlays and it tells everybody, oh, you're playing OBS Studio. Oh, take a look. And now it's like it's not even in streamer mode. So I don't know if like I took it because I was like, no, I don't want this game registered. And now I'm not in streamer mode on Discord. Anyway, I'm talking to Rob and you can see Rob and it's all good. How you doing, Rob?
Hello, I'm good. Missed you last week, but yeah. Sounds like you had a great opportunity.
Yes, it was a wonderful opportunity. Hopefully it leads to more. Knock on wood. That was kind of why I was like, I'm gonna bite the bullet on this one. And
here's just a wild heads up. Here's another bug. I have an error message on Discord that says Discord is not detecting any input from your mic.
Oh, well, I can hear you just
that's
fine.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
I know. That's weird. All right. Well,
I hear it right now. We are going to be doing some stuff, though, this month. Let's talk a little bit about Friday.
Yes.
You mentioned that you could actually do this.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of a schedule update at work, so I'm actually going to be free Friday afternoon, and it just so happens that Friday afternoon is Summer Game Fest.
The next edition of the Keelyverse.
That's right. The latest Keely movie is going to be out on Friday. So we actually have the opportunity to, once again, and we haven't done this in a little while, do a little bit of a co-stream to, you know, kind of react to some of the announcements and, you know, whatever we might hear about. And who knows? I really think there's a lot of room to be surprised here. Yeah. You know, we could hear about more of what Nintendo plans for holiday, could get a big announcement from Sony or potentially, you know, Microsoft as well. So there's really... anything is possible, so it'll be fun to check out Friday.
And we might even hear more about Death Stranding, too.
We just might. We might see a little something. We might get a little... Hideo Kojima just might trot out on stage for a moment. He just might.
You never know. So
never know.
That is going to be... The Summer Games Fest starts on Friday, this coming Friday, June 6th at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. So we'll probably be on just a little bit before then. Here at Vogue to react to it and, you know, hope that there's some positive stuff in there. Cause that's like, it's so easy to be cynical and it's so easy to be negative. And there are people that their entire brand is, I hate everything. And we don't, there are certain things about the industry we don't like, you know, the job situation and all that stuff and all that stuff's going on. But video games are still great. And the people that are still able to make video games and still able to bring video games, we want to celebrate that. So
Absolutely. It's
going to be it's going to be more positive than probably some of the other co-streams out there that are there just to bash it. Or I'm going to make fun of it because we're not really going to do that. So that's
I mean, we might make fun of Hideo Kojima.
Yes, we're going to make fun of Hideo Kojima. But we're not going to make fun of the smaller guys. Now, I know that there's controversy about how much it costs to be at Summer Games Fest. But I also know there are some programs for indie games to get in at a much lower rate or not have to pay at all. But the AAA studios, it's like $250,000 for a 30-second spot on Summer Games Fest. So it's a lot. It's a lot, but it's big marketing. Like, it's one of the biggest marketing things.
Paying for that Peacock Theater, right? Yep. Smack downtown LA.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. And Dark Decia says, I'm sure Kojima's bringing some that won't make any sense. Yeah, Death Stranding too.
That's, and then, you know, there is Overdose, a potential update on that, but, you know, I'm not holding my breath.
What was interesting was that there was a trailer that the Keelyverse put out of, you know, the hype trailer. And, like, it's all games that are either already out or Death Stranding 2 footage. That's what's in their 2-minute sizzle reel. It's like a bunch of Claire Obscure, you know, and it was like, I'm like, that game's already out. That game's already out.
Oh, Claire Obscure DLC confirmed.
There we go. Clearly. There it is.
Yeah.
So now I wanted to also mention there's something else that we're going to be doing in June. I don't know if you've announced this.
Busy month.
It's going to be.
I did announce it when you were gone. Yeah.
We kind of needed to. So yeah. We are going to be back at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo. Both of us.
We. Yep.
Yes. And that's W-E, we. Not W-Y-I.
Not W-H-E. We.
We.
So I might be saying that. Who knows? If they ever got an F-Zero GX or AX cab there, I might be saying while I play it.
Did the little piggy go wee, wee, wee all the way home? Yes. You can save 15% or more if you switch. Anyway, so we're going to be at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo.
I went to Southern Fried Gaming Expo, and I was like, oh, my God, the wee.
We're old. We're old.
Yes. And if you got that reference, so are you.
take your medication. All right. So June 20th through 22nd here in Atlanta, Southern Fried Gaming Expo. It's a big pinball arcade expo, gaming expo, lots of tabletop. They're actually going to have this year. Remember at MAGFest, the jam room where it was like they had all of that, where they had like instruments and anybody could go up there and jam. They also, you know, had some other stuff, but that little jam session where anybody can go up. Turns out the same person that runs that room at MAGFest started running it at Southern Fried Gaming Expo last year.
Nice.
So the MAGFest jam sessions and MAGFest jam rooms are going to be at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. And they're also going to have some local bands do concerts in there at night. But during the day, it's going to be just an open jam session that people can walk in. And they're even trying some things at this to incorporate into MAGFest. So this is kind of a test bed for the things that they're going to start bringing to MAGFest. So it is the same person that's been running the jam. I actually was like, yeah, I was there in 2016. He's like, oh, yeah, you were with that person and that person, because I showed like a picture of the video that we took when I did the jam session when we were that one wonderful year. MAGFest was in February. Yeah. And that's the one time I went.
I went twice.
You went twice. I only went that one wonderful time. And he recognized like everybody else in the room and stuff, and he was part of it. And so, but yeah, that's going to be there. But we are also going to be here. And it's kind of interesting. You look at the special guests page on gameatl.com and you scroll down for a little bit, and oh, look. Right above each other, there is me and you. We are featured special guests at Southern Fried Gaming Expo, and we are going to have a panel, which I will at least want to solicit our viewers on some of this. I don't know if you do. We can probably go ahead and talk about what the panel is. We just don't know what it's going to be. Well, I will need it. You don't. You know. But what is the panel that we're going to be doing?
We are going to be doing in the spirit of Southern Fried Gaming Expo being a classic gaming convention, we are going to do classic games that maybe you should check out. Because, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the Marios and the Zeldas, and there's even things like, I don't know, if you hear about Commodore 64 at all, you probably know about Great Giana Sisters and some of the things that have been very controversial over the years. But what about the games that have just completely missed, you know, that mainstream coverage or that fandom online? I can tell you right now, you know me, you know what's going to be one of the games on my list, which I think is a perfect example, is going to be The Guardian Legend on the Nintendo. I think it's a great example for this because it's a game that, you know, never really got a lot of coverage when it came out. It doesn't get a lot of coverage now. I think this is a game that should be on more people's radars. So we're going to talk, and, you know, Bobby and I can fill an hour talking about, if you believe it or not, you know, pick a dozen games. We can probably spend an hour just talking about why these games deserve people's attention. I'm hoping we might actually be able to get one or two that actually are on the show floor, but that's a little bit of a crapshoot until we get there. So we can gamble and see what happens. But
Yeah, so I may be, you know, soliciting yours because I know that there are some people here that do like some that are not a little more obscure from the mainstream, especially if they came from Konami. I know we've got a couple of, you know, old school Konami fans that like the stuff that's not the the mainstream Konami games that most people think of because they've got a great, great library, great back library. No slot machines. We're not going to talk about any slot machines you should try.
They're separate now. That was a headline from last week is that the Konami Amusement and Konami Arcade are actually splitting. They're going to be separate companies in August. So no more pachinko jokes, I guess.
We can still make the jokes.
Of course we can.
So so we're going to be doing that. That is going to be the one panel that I know of. I did get to talk to them. They were one of the people I talked to at MomoCon a little bit, you know, talking about like, you know, hey, you know, we can also moderate some of your big some of your guest panels. And so they've heard that. And so I haven't heard anything more than that. But, you know, Rob and I will be talking about that. But the people that are actually going to be there, which is kind of interesting, they've got a kind of an interesting smorgasbord of people that are their headline guests. Howard Scott Warshaw, who
love to meet him,
who created both the worst and best game on the Atari 2600. Because
only the worst because you didn't read the manual. Exactly. Not you specifically, Bobby Buckles, but only the worst because you didn't read the manual. When we have like Purina Chuck Wagon and games like that that is on the Atari 2600, E.T. is not the worst.
Yeah. And I have met Howard Scott Warshaw before. So E.T., but he also did Yar's Revenge. I have met Howard Scott Warshaw once 20 years ago. I actually have a signed copy of Saboteur, which is the game that he made that would have come out after the crash. So it never came out, but Atari Age released it as a cartridge like in 2003, 2004. I met him and actually got him to sign it. So he is actually a wonderful human being. And even back then he was a wonderful human being. So, you know, that was cool. I don't know this person. Some people may like Fred Ottman. He was Tugboat in Wrasslin, if you remember. It was actually during the time I watched Wrasslin, so yes, I know who Tugboat is.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
No disrespect, just not a wrestling person. Yep.
So moving on, Steve Ritchie, who pinball legend, doing Black Knight, and is also like a voice of Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat. But yes, a huge icon, Steve Ritchie here. But speaking of Mortal Kombat, Leah Montelogo and John Parrish, who were in...
Leah was Sindel in Sindel. Mortal Kombat 3. So we got Mother for Pride Month. Yeah. I'm thrilled. Yeah.
And John Parrish is Jax from Mortal Kombat. And so these are the actual motion capture actors, the martial artists that did the motion capture for those games. Jeff Sheen is there. Who's best known? He's done some Marvel's Adventures stuff, and Chris Redfield in the Resident Evil franchise. That's one of the other people that
he plays Carlos in Dead by Daylight too.
Okay. And then this one I'm actually kind of excited for, and this is because the Vintage Computer Festival is actually here too. The Vintage Computer Festival Southeast is here. Jerry Ellsworth. She is a big hardware inventor. She was the person who distilled the Commodore 64 down to a single chip. If you remember the Commodore 64 all-in-one, she was then hired by Valve to work on Valve's AR headset, Cast AR, which then they abandoned, and she left to make Tilt 5, which is an AR headset specifically made for board games. And so Jerry Ellsworth is going to be at Southern Fried Gaming Expo as a guest of the Vintage Computer Festival and the Atlanta Historical Computing Society. So I'm actually, and she's also like does a lot of pinball restoration and stuff. So she's done a lot of pinball tinkering. So this is totally her element, and I am excited to finally get to meet her because I do have a Tilt 5. I was a Kickstarter backer at Tilt 5, but she's got a lot of stuff that she's done. In the maker space. So I'm excited for the lineup of guests that are going to be there. And then a whole bunch of arcade and a whole bunch of pinball going on too.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm excited. I can't believe it's like 3 weeks away. It's just like time flies.
I know.
And then it'll be like 6 weeks till DragonCon at that point. Well, maybe like 8 or 9, but still it's going to be back to back.
And DragonCon, they got the other half of the Baldur's Gate voice actors or actors.
Yeah, I saw that, which is great. Yeah. I was like, wow, how are they going to do, you know, meet the demand for all the Baldur's Gate 3? Oh, just get 6 other additional voices from Baldur's Gate, including Karlash, who he was kind of one of the big, at least from the main roster was missing last year. And then the ever important supporting characters as well. We don't want to minimize their efforts that went into an amazing game. So very excited.
All right. What's coming up tonight, though, on Orange Notch Radio?
Probably a lot of Fantasy Life, because that's what I've been playing this weekend. But we'll talk also about on PlayStation.
OK.
Why, are you on Switch or something?
No, I hadn't gotten it yet. I was just curious which platform you got it on.
I think there is you can at least move the saves cross-platform, which I think is interesting. That's the thing. I don't know if it plays cross-platform, though. I haven't gotten to the part that's multiplayer, but I understand there is a multiplayer mechanic in it, but it is not, like, permanent. It's, like, one part of the game, I guess, is the best way to put it. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about, of course, with the Switch 2 coming out this week. We have a lot of news around that, including some additional games that are getting ported to Switch 2. We have some new dates, and unfortunately, because this is the gaming industry, we have more layoff news this week, which is very frustrating, but we'll cover that as well.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night and here Friday night for Summer Games Fest with Rob. So I will be back Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, to talk all about the Switch 2 and my experience actually going to a midnight launch. No, I am not streaming from the Switch 2 line. I am not one of those people. I apologize. I am going to be there at midnight to go pick it up and get in my car and leave. So if you were looking for a live stream from the Switch 2 line, sorry, I'm not it. But I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, to talk all about Mario Kart World, and I will probably get that dang tech demo that everybody's going to rally against. I'll buy it so you don't have to. I will be that person. I will take that L. I will go ahead and just take the L now. And we'll talk about it next week. So you can find me on social media. I am BobbyBlackWolf.com over on the Blue Skies, or you can find me on the Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make all this work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. And y'all did amazing last week, so I'm so happy to see that. But thank you so much, SSJ100 Matt, for your resubscription after your wedding. Once again, congrats on the wedding. Matt did say it was a wonderful and lovely time, so I'm glad to hear that. And Loki resubscribed. Thank you so much for that. I am going to hit the button to get out of here. And thank you so much for being here. And it's always great to be here. I will see you on Friday for Summer Games Fest, and here's Sunday to talk about the Switch 2. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.